Hi guys, my name's Thomas.
And I'm Truman.
And today we're going to be talking about MCU Phase 1.
Now, MCU Phase 1 is kind of the beginning of the MCU. For those of you not know, there's Phase 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Are we in 6 now?
Yeah, there's 6 movies.
That's bananas. But this is Phase 1 we're talking about right now, which consists of Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, Thor, Captain America, the First Avenger, and The Avengers. And, of course, the two one-shots, The Consultant, and A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to Thor's Hammer, which we will be discussing here as well.
Those are my favorite, by the way. MCU Phase 1 is, like, the start of, like, I would say the most culturally significant, like, stretch of, like, movies of, like, the century. I mean, everyone is going to see Avengers Endgame and Infinity War, but it all has to start with Iron Man, with Tony Stark in a cave making an arc reactor from a box of scraps. I really appreciated Iron Man specifically because it wasn't an Iron Man movie. It was a Tony Stark movie, and he kind of morphed into... Why are you laughing?
I just can't believe we get to do this. I agree with you. I think it's really good at building out Tony Stark's character. It really gets to the heart of it. And, of course, Robert Downey Jr., it's been said to death, amazing as Iron Man every single time.
Could you imagine a universe in which Tom Cruise took the role of Iron Man?
I can, and it just wouldn't have been as good. It just simply
wouldn't
have been as good.
He's a little short guy. Did you know that?
He's a little short guy.
Yeah. I mean, Iron Man's good. I mean, it definitely dragged on for me a little bit, especially in the middle where he was just kind of tinkering around. He didn't suit up as like the traditional Iron Man suit until maybe like past the halfway point, something like that. But I mean, I think that movie, it started it all. I mean, people like it for what it was, but it's no movie that I would write home about. I mean, I thought it was all right, but for what it meant to the rest of the entire franchise, you had to start somewhere, and I think it's a pretty good start.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's not a perfect movie, especially considering they didn't really have a script. Apparently, a lot of it was improv, and they were kind of just given outlines of what the scene should end up as. And knowing that, and with that in mind, it's actually really cool. It's really cool how they basically staked the whole future of Marvel on this movie, because if it hadn't done well, they would have had to sell their characters off to other companies like they did with Spider-Man and X-Men. So this is kind of their last-ditch effort, and it worked out great, so that's really cool.
Yeah, of course, this movie famously ends with Nick Fury coming to Iron Man's house and talking about the Avengers Initiative. We'll get to the Avengers a little bit later. But Iron Man's now in on this plan of assembling a bunch of people that are greater than, you know, an ordinary pedestrian. Citizen, I don't know why I said pedestrian. That's a person walking on a street. But that brings us into The Incredible Hulk, which is following Edward Norton and not Mark Ruffalo, as he has to live with this gamma radiation, in which if he's angry, too angry, he turns into this big green monster. And it's about how he, what is this movie about? He's just like not trying to be angry, but then he gets angry sometimes and he saves the day. And the leader is created who does not show up until Phase 6. And that's the movie.
Yeah.
That's really it. That movie was bad.
You said Mark Ruffalo like you were a kid talking about broccoli
on
their plate.
No, Edward Norton's going to be in the rest of these movies, by the way. It's not Mark Ruffalo. I don't know who that is.
It's Mark Ruffalo. I don't know why you said that. But yeah, I don't like this one as much. I think there's much better stuff out there, I think, especially when you compare it to other Marvel things, which, like, you know, we've been calling, like, the meat of the MCU, which is, like, really, really good movies. It's just, like, not great. Like, I wasn't excited to watch it. I was watching it. I was kind of waiting for it to be over.
It, like, means nothing to the rest of the franchise, but specifically, it doesn't mean anything to the rest of Phase 1, because they do recast Edward Norton as Mark Ruffalo, so his character is just completely...
It only means something every time one of the characters in future movies goes, and when the incident in Harlem happens, and then and you're like,
And as more a casual fan, that means nothing to me when someone goes, oh, the incident in Harlem. I'm like, oh, something must have happened in Harlem, which apparently was when the Abomination came around.
Yes, when the Abomination
came around. But then, at the end of this movie, we see Iron Man walk into a bar who talks to Lieutenant Ross? General Ross. About
President
the Avengers
Ross.
Initiative, who becomes president later on. But we're not talking about that today.
We don't know about that.
He talks to General Ross about the Avengers Initiative. And if you're wondering, why is Iron Man talking to General Ross about the Avengers Initiative and not, you know, and not Nick Fury? And that's because...
The Consultant, a Marvel one-shot, which explains that they didn't want Abomination to be on the Avengers, so they sent Tony Stark to be purposefully annoying and discourage General Ross from putting Abomination on the team. This is real. It's on Disney+.
It's 5 minutes.
Hadn't watched it.
Very short. Very
not
good.
Not that good.
Oh, sorry. Ooh.
We'll
agree to disagree.
We'll fight on that later.
We're moving on to Iron Man 2. It's the sequel of Iron Man, in which Iron Man is...
dying.
He's dying. The arc reactor in his chest is poisoning him, slowly but surely. And
palladium. The palladium core is poisoning his blood. He's got this kind of little weird, like, blood scorching going up his his neck, and he's really struggling with it. He's
yeah.
He's and nothing can replace it, so he has to solve the mystery of his heart.
And also beyond the mystery of his heart, he has to, you know, fight kind of a two-front war between Justin Hammer, who is, you know, trying to replicate the Iron Man technology to kind of to monetize it, and he's also fighting this Russian guy, Ilya Dragunov. No, that's the wrestler. He's fighting this guy Whiplash. I know that's his villain name though, with electric chains.
Why'd you even like try saying Ilya Dragunov?
I don't know. All I'm right. Sorry.
Congratulations on being back.
But I think one of the most impressive feats of Iron Man in the entire franchise is him inventing a new element in order to save himself from dying. He creates a new element to put into the arc reactor, which he puts into his hole in the chest, which saves his life. And I think that's a really cool feat. And I think people gloss over that too much.
I think the thing where it's like his father told him, and it was like, his father really did care about him. I think it's a really underrated moment in the character's history. I think it really kind of makes him who he is, and he gets that sweet triangle.
Before we just move on to the next movie, I just want to say that this movie definitely is a step below the original Iron Man. I just didn't find the story as convincing or anything. It wasn't nearly as impactful to me. It was just Iron Man kind of futzing around for 2 hours.
Well,
but, you know.
I kind of like Iron Man futzing around for 2 hours. I think I'd put it honestly equal to or perhaps slightly better than the first one. I think the first one drags a little bit.
Well.
The second one's pretty tight and clean. But to talk about the next one, you know, the post-credit scene of Iron Man 2, Phil Coulson walks out of a car and goes, "Sir, we found it." And what has he found?
Thor's hammer. Yeah, that's right. We're going to Thor now. Stars Chris Hemsworth, and he's really, really good looking in this movie.
He's freaking ripped, dude.
Dude, he is so handsome.
He is so ripped.
He is sent to Earth because he's punished for being unworthy of being
king.
Completely
totally different than the rest of them, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally different.
It's like this Shakespeare-esque kind of dialogue.
I would say Latin Law's Shakespeare thing I think is really cool. Loki, of course, Tom Hiddleston doing really well.
This movie's boring, though.
It is a little boring. Let's move on,
Let's move on,
all right,
almost.
Great.
Thor saves the day.
Of course he does, which he always does.
And,
next, let's talk about a funny thing happened on the way to Thor's hammer.
Phil Coulson goes to the... Hey, let me do this one. Phil Coulson is on the way to New Mexico, which is where Thor hammer landed, and he is in a gas station, and he stops a robbery, and it was pretty cool. That's really it. It was pretty fun. Moving on to Captain America, the First Avenger.
I liked it.
We jump all the way back to the 1940s. It's the height of World War II, and skinny Steve Rogers... And skinny Steve Rogers is desperate to enlist in the U.S. Army, but, you know, he just can't because he's too skinny. That is until a German scientist is like, you know what? I'm going to give you some drugs. I'm going to make you big and buff. And
I'm
he makes
you
big
I'm
and buff.
I'm going to make you the best there ever was.
And this movie was all about how Steve Rogers became Captain America. I think it's the best origin story so far.
It's ultimately a story about how to be a good soldier and a hero, you don't have to be... It's not about being a good fighter or a good warrior. It's about being a good man.
Yeah,
but being that I really like this movie. I think it really adds its own unique kind of tone, which I think Captain America it turns into a different kind of tone about like espionage, which I also like. But this one's really unique and really cool, and it weaves perfectly into the next movie.
Well, I was about to say, yes. I think what's really sneaky underrated about this movie, it's about what happens in war. Like you lose people in war. Like he lost Bucky,
yes.
Presumably as he fell off the train. He also loses Peggy. His beautiful situationship.
Loses her time. He wakes up in the future to deal with the challenges of the Avengers, the final film of Avengers of Marvel Phase 1. And, they've got to fight Loki. They all team up. All the heroes we've met from all the movies, they all team up in Marvel's first ever crossover event. It was awesome, and it was massive, and everyone likes it.
Everyone is teaming up to fight Loki because Loki gets the Tesseract, which is a space cube. That was used frequently, heavily, rather, I should say, in Captain America: The First Avenger. Stop laughing.
Why would you
change
the word?
And so Loki, he gains possession of the Tesseract. He's using it to, you know, try to conquer Earth to impress some guy. I don't really know who he is yet. But, you know, the Avengers have to team up because he's this big alien with a big alien army. And, you know, Iron Man, the Hulk, who is Mark Ruffalo. I am mistaken. He was Mark Ruffalo all along, apparently. Edward Norton. Natasha Romanoff, who we glossed over, she debuted in Iron Man 2.
Yes.
Clint Barton is Hawkeye.
Wonderful.
Captain America, of course.
Star Joe, wonderful.
And Thor. Mm. Yeah.
They're all there, and they all fight, and they all win.
And then they have shawarma afterwards. It's my favorite thing to reference of all time. They just sit and eat. Phase 1, I mean...
How would you rank it? How might you rank it?
How would I rate it? I think it's a solid 7 out of 10.
How would you rank each movie?
Oh, how would I rank each movie? So I would go definitely... Incredible Hulk, Thor, Iron Man 2, Iron Man, Captain America, Avengers. And I'm going to give this a 7 out of 10 because You know, it has its highs and lows. The movies that miss really miss for me, but the highs of Avengers, Captain America, and specifically like the third act of Iron Man, they are just so profound to me as like a kid growing up and just like watching these movies in the living room where I just watch superheroes fight all the time. So I think a lot of people had the same kind of, it had the same impact on a lot of people in which Phase 1, it started this, you know, love or, you know, even a mild enjoyment of the superhero trope. What about you? How would you rank them? How would you rate the
best to worst? I go Captain America, The Avengers, Iron Man 2, Iron Man 1, Thor, Incredible Hulk. Because I just think, as is in order of how much I enjoyed watching the movie, how much I was waiting for the movie to end, to get to the next good one. But I think, honestly, the MCU, obviously, it's our generation, Star Wars. I think it will stay for generations to come. And I'm, you know, excited to see as we continue. We're doing a friends watch there, so you know we're gonna see how they go. And
did you give a numerical score?
I'll give it an 8.
An 8.
I'll be
okay.
Crazy and I'll give it an 8. That doesn't not indicative of all of my the amalgam of individual ratings, but I'll give it an 8 spiritually.
And that was our, you know, crazy recap of MCU Phase 1.
What was your favorite?
Let us know in the comments.
We'll see you next time. You should never.